In a world of chaos and confusion, there are but two geeks who can clear everything up. Anna and Dave, Geek World, Thursdays at noon on 92.5 KYHY Burbank.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, super hosts, anime, mistress of the dork, and Dave, a.k.a. Dave Shield 21. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send an email to geekworld at 92.5KYHY. Wait, geekworld at 92.5KYHY.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, it's yes, okay. Believe in yourself, anime.
I do. I get confused because you had that other one. So geekworld at 92.5KYHY.com.
Anime, the shorts is with you. You'll be fine.
But it's kind of limp.
Oh, well, you know, there's doctors that can help you.
Check out our website at geekworldradio.com. And so we were talking about Resident Evil.
You know what's funny
Resident
is,
Afterlife,
you know, Mel Brooks, who came up that with the Schwartz and all that joke there, his son, Max Brooks, he wrote that World War Zombie,
yeah,
World War Z book. So there you go. Very topical, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
So I think we're now on to TV. But before we get into Nikita, I just want to say that, you know, opening up this week's Entertainment Weekly was awesome.
Uh-huh.
You know why?
No, I don't know why. Why? Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's right. Right there inside my magazine. Hawaii 5-0.
There we go.
Grace Park is hot.
She's so hot. She's fantastic. You know, I love Grace Park. I really do. I think, you know, she was so great in Battlestar Galactica, and it was such a fantastic character, and she had to play a lot of different versions of the same character.
Yeah.
I thought she was great in that, and I just can't wait for this. I can't wait for Hawaii 5-0.
I'm really excited for Hawaii 5-0.
Well,
I keep getting more and more excited
for
it.
Well, it's funny, because the person I'm least excited about is what's his name there? Alex O'Loughlin. And pretty much just because, you know, he hasn't been any roles that have really, I've really responded to.
Yeah, we haven't really found a reason to respect him yet, and I hope that Hawaii 5-0 becomes that reason, it's just like, it felt like NBC just kept giving him parts just because, I don't know, they had a contract with him or something, because they just kept giving him part after part after failed part.
Well, yeah, he's like that, there's that weird girl who was in that stupid show about, like, in another life. That was the essence of crime.
This
girl, and she's
chick.
In some other show. There's just these people that they always try to put in another show.
They try
show
and force them into shows.
Well, they think that they're a sellable
the
commodity.
Someone.
Exactly. And they think that, you know, it's just the show was bad. I mean, granted, that for that girl, that show was, like, the worst idea I've ever heard.
Well,
of
yeah, and
like
for Alex,
rock.
Just like for Alex...
Like, that's the plot?
Just like for Alex O'Loughlin, I mean, you know, like, that show was, you know, it was Angel is Gone.
You're talking about Moonlight.
Yeah. And then they put him on the ER is gone. Let's make another medical thing.
I know.
You know, it's like, so those are mainly the reasons of his failure.
They have hedged their bets like crazy, though, for Hawaii 5-0. Okay. Yeah. Not only do you get, it's a show that people know about, you know, because it's a remake of a famous show, but you got
Scott Kahn.
You got Scott Kahn, who is, you know, not only is he, you know, related to a very great actor, but he's been in a lot of great stuff himself, including the Ocean's movies. Of course, you have
from Lost.
Yeah, why am I blanking on his name from Lost?
I'm gonna wait until you get it.
No, seriously, I am blanking on his name right now.
I'm not telling.
You suck, really. I'll kill you. You don't know, do you? That's why you're looking it up. You have no idea.
I actually forgot.
Why am I blanking on his name? This is crazy. Kim, right? Something.
I
what?
What?
Daniel Day Kim.
Yes.
God, I don't know why I was blanking on his name. And of course, God, that just makes us look so bad. And then of course,
hey, you came up with
it. I am flustered
without even looking it up.
I know. I'm happy I came up with it. I know. Yes. Luckily, I had no computer to check. Along with Daniel Day Kim, you know, of course, of Lost and Angel. Everyone knows him from season 4.
Oh,
Angel.
Yes.
You got Grace Park, of course, from Battlestar Galactica. So really, like, they've hedged their bets in a bit. Oh, and Edgemont that everyone's seen, of course.
Well, all you Canadians.
Our
Canadian fans, Dave.
You Canadian tweens out there 10 years ago.
You know what? Anyone who knows that we get really upset about Smallville might also know about Kristen Crook in her show of Edgemont.
Yes, that's true.
Which
that's
also had...
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's about it. Yeah. But anyway, they're really hedging their bets genre-wise for, you know, you're probably a fan of one of these people.
Yeah.
That's a good chance, you know? If you've seen action or suspense movies, you probably know who Scott Kahn is.
If you're a J-Lo fan and saw that J-Lo movie with her and Alex O'Loughlin, then you know who Alex O'Loughlin is.
Exactly, exactly. If you like rip-offs of Angel, then you'll most likely have seen Moonlight with a girl who, as far as I can tell, got hired because she was in that episode of Doctor Who.
I agree.
Which, you know, is okay because she was actually really good in that. But yeah, I think Kawhi 5-0 is going to be really fun and really cool. I'm really excited. Oh, and on top of that, like, talk about hedging their bets. They got Norman Reedus from freaking, like, Boondock Saints and Blade 2, and James Marsters from freaking Buffy, Torchwood, and everything else. So, I mean, really, if an audience doesn't go to this show, I don't know what they can do.
You're lame, man.
What else can they add, really? Yeah, I'm pretty excited about Hawaii 5-0 too.
But let's get on to Nikita.
Thank you.
Nikita. Hey, I wasn't the one that kept talking.
No, you were the one who brought it up, and then I can remember Daniel Kim's name, and oh, God, what a horrible name.
Talking.
I know. Well, it's your fault.
You don't know how to stop talking.
Maybe you should start talking more.
Well, I wanted to, but you were busy talking about Hawaii 5-0, and I wanted to get to Nikita.
Well, yes. Well, now I do, too, and I have been the whole time. All right, so we've been actually waiting for the show for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on top of the fact that this is now the second TV version of Luc Besson's movie Nikita,
yes.
His French movie from 1990. There was a remake of the movie called Point of No Return,
yeah.
Which is literally a shot-for-shot remake. With
Not done nearly as well.
Exactly. You know, on top of that, they had a TV show called La Femme Nikita with Peter Wilson, which I didn't really watch that much,
yeah.
To be perfectly honest.
No,
I didn't really care. But you know, I really like Nikita, and I really liked Point of No Return when I saw it as a kid. And
yeah.
I think that... you know, I think that this show did it right.
Yes.
I am really, really happy. You know, and we watch so much for the show, and so much of the time you sort of have to be like, make excuses for things, or you sort of have to be like, well, I was hoping for this, and I got this, so it's okay. You know, this is one of those nice times where I was very pleasantly surprised. It was much better than I thought it would be. And they actually, like, generally fooled me in some certain things about what my expectations were for them to do.
Yeah, like, they trick you into thinking that the origin story of Nikita is different.
Yes.
They trick you, and when you find out that they've tricked you, it's such a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wow, that's like, I would have been so pissed if they had changed her backstory.
And you know, the world we live in right now, you know, when you get upset about something, you can go and you can blog it, you can, you know, tweet it. It's sort of like, you know, I was like ready. It was like, oh, they already killed the origin to make her like more likable. And they go right ahead and it's totally different. And in the end, you know, her origin is exactly the same as it is from the original movie Nikita. You know, she was part of a gang, she was a drug addict, and she shot a cop. As the Nikita story, which is, you know, kind of the whole point of why this character is so interesting, is, you know, she does something that is abhorrent and also something that you get, you know, the death penalty for.
Yeah. Okay. So the TV show La Femme Nikita, the point of, in that one, Nikita was innocent. That she was just a homeless girl in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, see, that sucks.
Yeah.
Because that's what makes Nikita so interesting, is that she's...
Yeah.
It's almost like
the original movie is incredible. The way that she's, like, she's so strung out and drugged out. Like, that's the thing about it. You sympathize with her because she is so strung out that she doesn't even, like, realize what she's doing, but she still does it. And so you're totally okay with everything that's happening to her in the beginning until they send her out on missions to kill and she doesn't want to kill. She doesn't want to be a killer. They've trained her, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they gave her this opportunity for a new life, but they didn't.
Exactly. Yeah, no, totally. I mean, and that's what's really the core of the movie, of the original movie, is that, you know, she was strung out, she was drugged out, she killed a cop, probably didn't even really mean to. She didn't, because she was strung out, and they turned her into a contract killer, and they taught her proper etiquette so she could, you know, pretend to be, you know, a proper lady before she shoots you with the Desert Eagle. By the way, speaking of Desert Eagles, we've been talking about all show, because of Wesker, I believe the first gun she uses in her first job in Nikita is a Desert Eagle. So, thanks, Bob. But anyway, let's talk about the show. First and foremost, I have to say I love Maggie Q. I love Maggie Q. We've been lucky enough to know about her before a lot
Imagine
of other
like
people.
Imagine like a movie with like Maggie Q and Mila Jovovich.
It would be too much. Oh, I couldn't handle all the hotness and action at the same time. Yeah, if you added like Moon Bloodgood to that, I'd probably explode. What's funny about Maggie Q is we've known about her for a while, like I said before, a lot of people, because she was big in Hong Kong first, and we got this movie called Naked Weapon.
Oh, so good.
And it's from, 2002, and she basically plays the Nikita part.
Very much so,
Naked Weapon is one of those movies, kids out there, you're not allowed to watch this. It's really hardcore.
Well, with Naked in the title, I hope parents are smart enough to keep their kids away.
Really adult-themed, really, it could be very disturbing for somebody not, you know, not old enough to deal with what's going on. But basically, it's about these little girls who get taken and trained from being very young to be assassins.
Yeah, except instead of, you know, just, like, duking it out with one another for training, they, you know, have to go into a death match.
Yeah, and basically, that's it. All the girls, when they get to a certain age, they all get into a death match, and whoever survived, the two that survive become these assassins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is actually very steeped in Asia cinema.
Yes. Yeah, like a zoomie.
That's definitely a big thing. And so basically, you know, Maggie Q is so insanely hot in the movie. And she basically plays a role like Nikita. She plays an assassin. And so, you know, I couldn't think of anyone better to play this role. And I think that, you know, what's really great about Maggie Q is I thought that she was from Asia. Maggie Q is from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Yeah,
she's of Vietnamese descent, but she became a model and actually started working a lot in China and Hong Kong because her look was so popular.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did a lot of action movies in Asia. So I assumed that she was from Asia because, you know, not only is she, you know, of Asian descent, but also because, you know, she's first time I ever saw her was in Asian movies, you know, was in movies from Hong Kong. So it was really interesting for me to find out later. That's why she doesn't really have an accent.
Yeah,
that's why she, you know, she speaks
all,
so well. Yeah,
yeah.
And I think that
she have to do some of her early roles in Asia, phonetically.
Yeah, phonetically, she had. She couldn't speak Cantonese.
Yeah, it's not like you know, she didn't come over to America and do those roles phonetically. She went to Asia and did those roles phonetically.
Exactly. But you know, she came over to America and she was in like Mission Impossible 3.
Back to America.
Yeah, she's in Live Free or Die Hard, which is, you know, she's her death propels the funniest line of Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah.
I get another dead in it.
Yeah.
You know, she was in like that Balls of Fury movie. And also notably, she was the star of a video game. Her face was all over the video game Need for Speed Undercover.
Yeah.
It was like a CG version of her, a mocap version of her. And of course now she's in Nikita.
How about a CG version of me?
Yeah, well, I think that would be kind of cool. We should get on that. We should mocap you a little bit.
It should be mocap Mistress of the Door.
Yes, I think that would be a great idea.
The game.
Yeah, do you want something cool to happen? Open up a veil and, like, bats come out or something like that? Or, like, I don't know, like, cool guns like Haruma
eyes?
Like a shark. When you yell, a shark flies out of your mouth and eats people?
No, not that.
No, okay.
No.
Well, we'll think
Let's
about
start
it.
Start off with laser eyes
Part. Yeah. So anyway, so we've known about Maggie Q for a while, so we were actually really excited for her to be in this role because we figured, you know, it's a good shot for her because she has starred in a lot of movies, but a lot of American movies she's been like, you know, assassin, this girl assassin here, or this girl helpful assassin.
Yeah.
Essentially, she's always an assassin, no matter what. And I think the great news is because, you know, she's worked all over the world and she has been in the industry now for quite a while, she actually, acting-wise, I think has enough gravity to really hold the show together,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of, you know, is kind of half the battle when it comes to being the star of the
really
show.
You really need someone like who's out there, especially a show like this where it's one person that's the main star. Even though there's other people around, she is the story. I mean, she is the show, and so she needs to be able to really compel you to watch. She needs to make it so you want to watch, and I think she did a great job.
I think she did too.
I actually was really impressed with Lindsay Fonseca too, by the way.
She's great.
Who plays kind of the little like protege. I mean, she I actually wasn't expecting much from her, and I was pleasantly surprised with how well she did, and it kind of like makes me think of her like, you know, if we were casting other things like we like to pretend we do, you know, like I would totally put her in these
I agree.
I would think of her now for different roles.
Yeah, not only is she really, really beautiful, but I thought she was really good in the part. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you, and I think that her character, I think, you know, what's really clever about, basically, let's just start, basically Nikita, this takes place like 5 years or three to five years, I can't remember, after...
I think it's 4 years.
Three to 5 years after the first movie, original movie, Nikita. Basically, she's left what's called the Vision. She's left, like, the government, basically, killing force. And she left, and they killed, like, the man she loves.
The Vision is another evil organization.
Yes, exactly. Though not a corporation.
Right. And not nearly as bad as Umbrella.
No one is as bad. Not even OCP. OCP created, like, robots that went around and, like, killed, like, half the people of Detroit. Still not as bad as the Umbrella Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you know, so she's been on the run for, you know, for years now, and now she's getting her revenge. She's plotting her sort of her fight back, if you will, against the Vision.
Well, she also doesn't want, like, you know, she doesn't want anyone else to have to go through what she
exactly.
went through, because it's like, you know, she thought she was going to start her life over, but then they made her kill people.
Exactly, exactly. And so basically, you know, that's where we start, is with her. You kind of, I would say, if you saw this show and you liked it, which I can't imagine you didn't like it unless you don't like action.
Like action or hot chicks.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. If you don't like, okay, yeah, if you don't like action or hot chicks, then you might not like Nikita.
Yeah.
But if you did like this, I would totally recommend seeing Luc Besson's Nikita.
Absolutely.
I would say,
I don't care if you don't like subtitles,
yeah,
deal with it.
Yeah, I can't handle that when people, yeah, anyway, but yes.
See that and Naked Weapon, by the way.
Yeah, 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 exactly. If you want to know if Maggie Q can handle the role, definitely see Naked Weapon. But I think that because he did a man, I totally lost track. I got angry about subtitles. Yeah, see Nikita. Don't see Point No Return. You
no.
could see Point No Return, but it's just not as good. So see Nikita. Don't worry about the La Femme Nikita TV series.
Mm-hmm.
So go see Nikita, then watch this show. And I like that it just picked up right after. Basically,
now, if you were a fan of the TV show, then I'm not going to say that you won't like this, like you know, but it's a different kind of thing. It's
yeah,
not as
yeah.
fluffy as that. It's
oh,
it's
yeah.
it's much harder core. It's you know, it's more assassin and less like, you know, unless I'm innocent, you know what I mean?
I'm getting really surprised. You know, for the last few years, I've just been getting more and more surprised how much violence they can show on TV.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and really, like we have been talking about now for quite a while, is that, you know, things like Human Target, things like Justified, even though Justified's on a cable network, things like True Blood, you know, all the violence and sex that we used to see in movies are now on TV. Because it's sort of like, you know how they...
Well, that's why so many shows are going to places like HBO and the cables, like the cable networks, rather than the you know, the major stations.
Yeah,
because they can get away with
well
more.
you know how the whole idea is, if you lock something off from somebody, the human mind is going to find another way to get that out.
Yeah,
you know, it's sort of like it's funny,
like being human.
Yeah. Exactly, it's great in Being Human when George doesn't become a werewolf and so he totally like freaks out on everybody and gets like Tourette syndrome.
Oh my god.
Which
yeah.
is unbelievably funny and scary all at the same time, because he's beating people up
because it's violence
yeah.
plus Tourette syndrome.
But yeah, but you know, it's, you know, we live in a world now where very few R-rated movies make a lot of money, so everything's PG-13. So really, there's only so much like violence and sex you can put on in movies anymore if you want the movie to sell.
Yeah,
and so because of that, it's TV that's taking over these
mm-hmm.
things. True Blood is taking over
well,
the
like,
violence.
It's like, that's
and
why
sex.
All these shows want to be at 9 o'clock instead
yeah.
of 8. They want to be at 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
instead, you know, like,
and
then they can get away with more.
And they have to be. Yeah, and I think, you know, like True Blood's perfect example in like Human Target and Nikita. Now, I mean, God, there's so much violence in this. It is just like like the French movie Nikita.
It's funny because even like Vampire Diaries, you know, like, I mean, the last season ended with one of the characters chopping off someone else's fingers
yeah.
after stabbing them
yeah,
to death,
exactly.
like, or almost. To death, you know.
And if we talk about the new premiere of that, it was really violent.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
And I gotta say, you know, just like the ending of last season was, wow, that's the way to end a show, you know, end a season. This was the way to start a season.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, I totally agree. But with Nikita, let's just talk about, you know, everyone's talking about the pool scene, because
it
was with all the previews. First off, Maggie Q should be like, they should make a statue out of her in that bathing suit.
I would totally buy the little statuette of that.
Yes,
you know,
yes. So hot. It was funny because I know that when I think a lot of people were upset just how skinny she looked in that preview, because the preview
she
was
does.
Just her in that.
Yeah, well, I mean, even the ads, just the print ad campaign. I mean,
yeah.
she looks so super skinny. But
yeah.
the thing is, like, when you actually see her in motion, there's shape to her body.
Yeah,
you know, there's
the
little
funny
butt
thing.
There. There's like, you know,
yeah, that's the funny thing. I totally agree. It's sort of like when you know, when you hear a line from a movie in a trailer and you go, that sounds really stupid,
mm-hmm.
but then you see the movie and with all the other stuff around you, you're like, oh, I get it now, that's cool. That's what it was like for Nikita. If you just saw that one shot of her walking in, like, she looks like she needs a hamburger, but when you watch everything put together and the way they cut it, and yeah, her, she doesn't look like anorexic, she just looks like she's in super awesome shape.
Yeah.
And like can really, you know, kill somebody with her body.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that whole scene was really, really well done, not only because she looked insanely hot and she should win some sort of bathing suit award, but also, you know, she breaks a dude's neck, she like throws a knife at somebody, she uses a dude as a bullet shield.
Yeah.
Oh, I love when she uses the table.
Oh, by the way, Mila can use me as a bullet shield, and so can Maggie Q.
Yes, yes. If you would like to use either of us as a bullet shield.
If the two of you would like to come over and carry me, both of you together, as your bullet shield, I will so be your bullet shield.
Bullet shields. We should do a show sometime just about
human
bullet shields. Yeah. That, you know, there's often human bullet shields in movies and TV, and I think and games. And I think really it hasn't been giving its fair share of notoriety.
We will give a fair shakedown to the human bullet shield.
Yes, I think that it's really necessary. And after that, maybe the human bullets. Because every once in a while, there's also, human bullets.
Like a human cannibal?
Yes, exactly. Awesome. The human cannibal, exactly. And I think, to go along with that,
really, something goes along with that.
Yes, exactly. I think along with the action, which is spectacular in that scene, wasn't there? There's actually a quote, a really funny quote from Maggie Q.
Read
in
it.
The Entertainment Week. Like, you took it from me. Yeah. I need to grab it. Here, you talk for a second. Say something.
Nikita is freaking awesome, and if you haven't seen it yet, I don't know if it shows up on anyone's on demand or something or Hulu or any of those, but you should try and find it and try and catch the first episode because it's definitely a worthwhile. We try and watch everything. Well, not everything. We try and watch a lot of things like the first episodes, and this is definitely one of the ones that we were incredibly pleased with.
Most pilots we try to give a fair shake, especially if they have to do with like sci-fi.
Yeah, or action or awesomeness or Maggie Q.
I can't find
And by the way, Melinda Clark.
Oh, yeah, she's so cool.
She is perfect for that role, for the role of the chick that helps get them like all like prim and proper, she was the absolute perfect choice for that part.
I mean, it's actually got a really outstanding cast. Mm-hmm. Along with
Shane West actually also did a great
job. Yeah, I was really surprised.
Again, he's another one that was kind of surprising how well he did, perfect he seemed for the part, and how he really seemed to be taking notes from the movie.
It was almost like a it's funny. It was almost like when we saw Fringe in like Joshua Jackson.
Yeah,
like, wait, he's
the best part of this.
Yeah,
huh?
He can act now. What happened? It's kind of hard to get over that WB phase.
Yeah,
back when it was the WB.
You know what? He will always be a Mighty Duck to me.
Yes, yes, he will. But Shane West, of course, you'll know him as Tom Sawyer from the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where everyone.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
And he was on ER. We actually saw him at a restaurant once.
You did?
Oh no, I saw him.
No, you didn't see him.
Yeah. Okay, so this is from Entertainment Weekly. Maggie Q did an interview, and they asked her about doing that scene wearing the small red bathing suit. So this is what she said. I'll try my best not to swear. It was absolutely terrifying. Also, it was supposed to be a small scene, like a private party of 7 or 8 people. I get to the set, and there's like 100 hot extras with massive boobs, and they're gorgeous. And I was like, really, you guys? Now I'm walking around set looking like a 12-year-old boy next to all these hot girls with huge boobs. I was so horrified.
That makes me love her like a million times more than I already did, which was a lot to begin with. So, Maggie Q, you are in my, book of awesome people.
Maggie, if it makes you feel better, all I was focused on was your butt anyway.
I know, right?
I didn't even notice those other girls with large breasts. However, now that I know, I'm going to go
watch
back
it again.
And watch it again. So, if you watched Nikita and missed that, you should, go again and look at the background.
Because Maggie Q says so.
Oh, now I think about it. I think the other chicks in that hot tub did have large breasts, so there
probably.
You go. Yeah, well,
But none of them had a butt as nice as Maggie Q.
And nobody is just as hot as Maggie Q. I mean, that's
the thing. That's the thing.
Like,
I mean, like, she walks in and your eyes focus on her. That's it.
She's insanely gorgeous and insanely cool. So, yeah, along with Shane West, as we said, and also Melinda Clark and Lindsay Fonseca, who is very good.
Aaron Stanford.
Thank you. Aaron Stanford. I was like, I had the first name. I was like, straight. Yeah. Of course, you played
Pyro. You mean Pyro?
Yes. You played Pyro in the X-Men movies. I actually really like him in this role. I think he's a good choice for it. It reminded me, just like any techie guy, reminded me of the Topher character from Dollhouse, except not really, because the Topher character from Dollhouse was funny because he was a sociopath.
Yeah. The thing is that all of these shows, like the old Nikita, like La Femme Nikita had one, the show The Pretender had one, all these shows, they always have that techie guy that, that
you call into. Oh, I even have it here. Aaron Stanford plays Burkhoff. See, I haven't ever written down, damn it. And I thought he was really good in that, and it's going to be really interesting to see what his character's motives are and kind of where his characters are going to go.
I really liked the guy that played the cleaner.
The cleaner. He was great.
Oh,
yes.
My God. That made me feel like the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I think that there was... I think my favorite thing about this show, other than the fact that they retained the exact same story of Nikita, is that people are really channeling people from the original movie. I felt felt like Shane West was very much channeling Shecky Corot in a really good way,
mm-hmm.
as the Bob character. Even though his character, I think his name Michael, he's the Bob character. It's the same character.
Yeah.
And also, along with that,
Bob.
There was a Bob. Exactly.
Bob.
Along with that, what am I thinking of?
Bob?
I am thinking of, yes, exactly. I totally lost what I was going to say. I hate when that happens.
You were saying that people really seem to be channeling.
Thank you. And the cleaner guy, this new cleaner guy, you know, very much, you know, kind of channeling Jean Reno from Nikita.
Yes. I mean, it really felt like he was, and I appreciate that so much.
You know, cleaners tend to be very humorless and very efficient and very ready to kill, and I thought that guy did a very good job. And yeah, I just overall, you know, I felt like...
I believed he would kill me.
Yeah. It filled in the kind of action hot... sexy girl thing that Dollhouse should have been.
Yeah.
If Dollhouse wasn't like some big, like, I don't even know what Dollhouse was about, really.
I don't know, hookers?
It was about hookers. Yeah, essentially it was about hookers.
Hookers and computers.
Yeah. And I think that, you know...
It's kind of like surrogates.
Yeah. It is.
Anyways.
with a guy from Resident Evil Afterlife who's also in surrogates. I think overall I'm really excited for the show. And I have to say, I think the other thing I like about it is because they're sticking with Nikita's story and because they're furthering the story from the movie, I like the fact that and the audience can see what Nikita went through through the Lindsay Fonseca character.
And she's a completely... she's like so much more of a character that you like relate to because you know that she didn't actually kill the person.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I'll be really upset like if we find out that the Nikita story isn't real, like, you know, like they tricked her or something, you know, like she didn't actually kill the cop. Like, we will be really upset if they make that change to it.
Well, luckily she told her foster father that she was really messed up and she even shot a cop.
Yeah. Well, so but she's also said that, like, you know, she's also told people that she's pretty sure it really happened, but she was so messed up she doesn't know.
I thought it was really interesting, too, for them to add, you know, Nikita starts off the first movie with her shooting the cop, and we don't know anything about her backstory, so that was interesting for them to add in the whole foster father, you know, definitely abusive relationship to kind of give even more credibility to why she would have become, a strung-out drug addict.
But actually, let's take another break, and don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send an email, geekworld@925kyhri.com, and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. We'll be back, and we'll talk a little bit more about Nikita and maybe some...
Well, I think... do we only have a half hour left?
Yes.
So, in the next half hour, Geek World will be pitting Hellcats versus True Blood. What is the better show?
And maybe some Vampire Diaries.
What could possibly be the better show?
True Blood versus
Hellcats.
I don't know. Which one Which one could it be?
You know, I gotta say one... Oh, no. Yeah.
Can you say one thing after?
Yes.
Or?
I have to say that Resident Evil Extinction sort of reminded me of the third Alien movie.
Okay.
When they're in the prison.
Anyways.
How dare you?
We'll be back in just a moment.
Couple of great geeks. Dave and Anna, the geekiest people you'll ever meet. On 92.5 KYHY, Geek World, Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, anime, mistress of the dark, and Dave Shield 21. Dave Shield...
Don't forget if you want to get in touch
with us. Blast off, Dave Shield 21!
Don't forget if you want to get in touch with us, send an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. I can't say that today.
It's okay.
Send us... No,
you
wait.
Can't talk.
Check out our website at geekworldradio.com.
Nice. Good work.
Nice.
Yes.
I rule.
You do rule. You know, Maggie Q, along with being Nikita, is also going to be in that Priest movie that we saw the trailer for.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The trailer for.
I got to see. I had zero interest in seeing that movie.
Yeah.
After seeing the trailer, I have... 0.5% interest.
Yeah, you know, I think that...
So it raised my interest by 0.5%.
Comic book adaptation, I don't really know anything about. I never read this one. I think that, you know, it's another Paul Bettany action movie where he plays, you know, he's that guy. And
that guy, but this time with a cross painted on his forehead.
I think, though, you know, I like the people around him. I like that Maggie Q's in it. I like that Carl Urban is the bad guy. You know, the guy from... the guy from Never Back Down, Cam, whatever his
Cam
name is.
Gigan.
Yeah, the one who was in, like, the first Twilight, I think, or whatever. You know, he's cool, too. I like him. So I think that, you know, I think that it might be fun and might be cool. people. I just don't know. I felt very sort of like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt been there, done that, honestly, to be perfectly honest, which is weird because... It's got a lot of interesting visual stuff.
Yeah,
like, I don't see a lot of stuff with people with crosses on their face. But you know what it felt like was Judge Dredd?
it felt like
fighting vampires.
A little bit of that Mutant Chronicles,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I'm not saying that it stole anything from them, because
no.
I'm sure it didn't, but, like,
yeah.
it doesn't matter because it feels like that.
Yeah, but I think that...
This wasn't really the right time to bring it out.
Yeah, but I also, you know, I'm not familiar with the comic book, so, you know, it could be the exact same thing. Like,
yeah.
100%. I have no idea. Anyway, so I think Nikita's great. I think that I'm not as upset anymore about Supernatural being moved for Nikita to have it in here, because, you know, Nikita does go well with Vampire Diaries. You know, they both are pretty much sex and violence is their
female
main,
driven
and they're female driven. Yeah, those are like the two things that both shows have in common, so it makes sense to put them together. Just like, you know, Smallville and Supernatural made sense
mm-hmm.
together.
And they still do
those
on
are
Fridays.
Shows. Yeah, exactly. So
now we can get really upset about Smallville on Fridays.
Yes, exactly. And I think Nikita's really good, so I would definitely give it a try. And I just love Maggie Q so
yeah.
much. May I say that one more time?
Yeah, if for some reason Nikita doesn't succeed, which I actually think it's going to. I think it's at least, you know, I think they're going to pick it up for season two pretty quickly.
It's so good. Like,
yeah.
like it's so much better than most of the stuff on regular TV
but
right now.
If for some reason it doesn't succeed, give Maggie Q more,
yeah.
more TV
oh,
shows. Give her TV shows. Like, treat her the way that you keep treating Alex O'Loughlin.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, she's going to keep on getting work. She's gorgeous and she can do martial arts really well. That's the other thing, too, that a lot of people, that's also really important. Is
also, Imelda is great making the moves look
yeah.
good.
Yeah. I mean, Maggie Q, like, she was in Hong Kong doing those movies. She knows how to sell that action. I mean,
yeah.
it looks like I think she has a lot of her own stunts. She looks like she could beat someone up like that. Like I'm really impressed. And she's funny too. Like,
yeah.
like I thought she delivered the jokes well. And also, it's not easy playing an actor where you're kind of the only character for a lot of the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to do.
She has to drive the entire motion of the show.
I just think she's great. But anyway,
let's move on
to Hellcats.
Yeah, let's take
to?
A little minute. Yeah.
Let's just do that real quick so we can talk to True Blood.
Okay. You know how Bring It On is like, you know, if you know a cheerleader, that cheerleader loves Bring It On.
Yeah.
This is kind of the show for those cheerleaders,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, 100%.
If you like watching chicks jump around in skimpy outfits,
yeah.
then you won't mind sitting in front of this show.
Yeah.
I actually don't mind the main character. You know, I don't mind the character.
Yeah.
But the girl that plays it,
yeah.
just, she suffers from something I like to call bitch face.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
Now, she plays
yeah.
the character really well, and,
yeah.
and she plays it not bitchy at all.
Yeah.
But her face has that look of, I'm a bitch.
Yeah, she looks like she's the bad guy in some sort of, you know, Emma Roberts movie or
yeah.
some sort of, like, a teen tween comedy. Yeah. I totally agree. She looks like an evil stepsister. Like, the thing is, she's hot. Like, without a doubt, she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. She does. She looks like she would play a bad guy. I totally agree with you. And I think her character basically Hellcats is about this girl who has a messed up alcoholic mom.
Of course, she is, Allie of Allie and AJ.
That is who that is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank God. I was sitting there the whole time wondering if that's who that was. I didn't bother looking it up. And then I thought it was really weird that there was a video for like the other
yeah.
one
yeah.
on it. Okay, I knew that. I knew it was her without actually knowing. Isn't
yeah.
that funny?
Yeah.
Okay. So in that case, actually, considering, I think that I actually have to say her performance was much better. Putting that into... Now
it's
looking at
it's
that,
like the way that you think of any Disney kid.
Just
kind
to show
of thing,
how
you know?
Much I didn't care, I didn't look that up. But I thought it might have... It's weird, because while we were watching it, I was going to say she looks just like one of those Allie and AJ girls. Because I worked for the Disney Channel a little
yeah.
bit around when they were getting big, so I knew who they were. That's so funny.
I find it funny that the show tried to kind of pick up its geek cred by putting in D.B. Woodside and Aaron
yeah,
Douglas.
Yeah, exactly. But also, it's got total Disney stuff because of her and
uh-huh.
also Ashley Tisdale.
Tisdale yeah.
That's so
totally.
Funny. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. Well, I'm glad you told me that. Okay. That changed my perspective since she's a singer first and foremost.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. She and her sister are like essentially Disney kind of singers.
Really funny.
And,
yeah. Yeah. She's a pretty, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That totally makes sense now. Okay. Anyway, but she plays this character who basically is a girl in college. Her mom is like a non-responsible alcoholic and basically she's going to lose her scholarship and the only way she can keep keep her scholarship to go to school so she can become a lawyer and leave, is to become a cheerleader.
Yeah, because it's the only scholarship that's available, and she's a former gymnast, and so she's got the moves. And I thought it was really clever that they had her go to the video store and pick up Bring It On.
Yeah, me too.
Like you know, because that's the whole thing. Like she essentially has to be the Elijah Dushku character.
Exactly. Well, and Ashley Tisdale, who I assumed would be the villain because she plays such a villain and I have seen High School Musical, yes. Wait, did I see the second one? I did. Oh, unfortunately, I did. Yes. Anyway, but
wow, you're just gonna keep going and talking about all the High School Musical films.
I didn't mean to. I was doing work at the time. I didn't mean to watch these things.
Well, you know, we did see that girl in Cowbells for your work.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. That's very true. You know, I think to go. Oh, I can't. That's true. That really is true. She's not evil in this, which I actually like because I was expecting her to be evil.
Yeah.
But it really is sort of like the movie Bring It On. It is very much like the main characters, like the Elijah Dushku character, and the Ashley Tisdale character is like the what's her name?
I don't know. Whatever her character is.
Yeah.
In that.
No, but what's the actress's name? The one from Spider-Man. What's her name?
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst. Thank you. Yeah, I don't even like her as an actress, so I can't remember her name anymore. Apparently, but it's sort of like that. Yeah, and really, I mean, the main question is like you said, you know, it's like Bring It On for 24 episodes is what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like, you know, there's a little bit of humor. There's hot chicks jumping around.
There's a girl trying to, you know, make sure she keeps her scholarship.
Yeah, a girl trying to keep her scholarship. There's going to be
bitch fights. You know,
exactly. So if you can handle that, you know, though, I have to say one really interesting thing that I thought they did a good job was is that, you know, you have to watch the second episode because they end the first episode on a cliffhanger where she's right about to do the big performance where,
and her mom is gonna and her mom's gonna be showing there, up and, which like is her
it's her kryptonite. Exactly.
Thank you, Tom Welling, for producing this.
Exactly. Basically, she stopped being a gymnast because her mom was kind of an embarrassment.
Yes.
A drunken embarrassment. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I almost didn't find much to, like, make fun of because it's like,
for what it is, they did a good job. You know, it's like, I mean, it's a Friday Night Lights kind of thing. Yeah. It's like where there's a whole lot of drama. You know, there's probably going to be a whole lot of drama going on, and there's going to be the sport that they're focusing
on. Yeah, but unlike Friday Night Lights, which is an actual drama, it's going to be like drama in those movies, which is like just enough for there to be conflict, but it's going to be so fluffy, too, because it's about
Her friend is going to get upset because she's not spending enough time with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
the
other girl is going to be upset because she thinks she's stealing her boyfriend.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think...
But they also need to save the cheerleading team from being, like, dismantled or something. Because, you know, at a Texas football school, no one wants cheerleaders.
Well, that's in where were they?
Oh, right, they were going to...
Aren't they in, like, Memphis?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, they're in the South. They're in, like, Tennessee.
Yeah, Texas or something.
Not in Texas. No, they're not. No, they're not in Texas. Friday Night Lights is in Texas. I'm pretty sure they're in Memphis in this.
Probably. I'm just going to keep saying Texas.
Yeah. Why don't you keep on doing that? Yeah, no, that's a great idea. And I did like the fact that I think the main thing that I think some people might like, other than the cheerleading stuff, is that, you know, the main character, the whole thing is like the economy is kind of like, it's so that she has to do this. And I think there's a lot of kids right there who, right now, who always expected to go to college, who now all of a sudden the parents are like, sorry, there's no money. Because of that whole economy thing that's been going on in the last few years. So I think, you know, there might be an audience out there that does respond to that. So, you know, we'll see. Of course, people also don't like to be reminded about their problems. So,
but that's the thing. This is a reminder of there's always a way.
There's always a way to persevere. Yes, exactly.
Even if it involves cheerleading.
So remind me of Best Student Council.
Mm-hmm,
she had to become Best Student Council in order to stay there.
Stay there, yeah.
So we have a few minutes left to talk about True Blood, right?
Yeah, let's talk about True Blood.
Or do we want to talk about Vampire Diaries?
Ooh. I don't know.
Maybe talking about in tandem and not in
vampires.
Rather changing anything. Yeah. How much time do we have?
Like 20, a little under 20 minutes.
Okay, great. So we have time for both of them. All right, so let's talk about True Blood first. This has been a really good season. It's the third season now.
If you didn't already know that she's a fairy, we're sorry that we brought that up a couple, like, hours ago.
Whatever. You know, they found out like 2 or 3 weeks ago, right?
I know. So it's if you're like us and don't watch things until late, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, you know, you should be fine.
You're a little too late at this point.
Exactly.
We cannot be held responsible.
Well, considering I opened up Entertainment Weekly and like the freaking line was there before I even saw it, like I'm a fairy that's, you know, blank and lame. I'm pretty sure most people know it by that point. But basically, this season was all about, a super old, super crazy vampire who sort of wanted to, basically enslave humanity, take over, and his gang of werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of werewolf stuff. And also, you know, how trustworthy Bill was. He gets kidnapped, and then he's working for different people to try to protect
Lafayette
city.
Lafayette is dating a witch, a man-witch.
Lafayette is dating a man-witch. Yes, a... Yes. A, yeah, really,
a man-witch named Jesus.
Yes, exactly. And
Jesus the man-witch.
We get a. I thought, you know, the Sam story is really good this year, mm-hmm. with his brother. I thought that whole.
Yeah, and Sam kills people.
And Sam is. It's like, you know, Sam is. He's like a.
I
grifter.
Hope he shot his brother in the leg.
Yeah, he didn't kill him, obviously. But yeah, he definitely shot at him. So you know, the Sam character actually goes through a lot more like pathos this season and gets a lot darker, which is good because you find out about his past. And yes. Ariel Kibble, once again, it was funny. I was talking to my friend the other day, and I was talking about how he was saying how you know in the new Vampire Diaries,
yeah.
how they're making a new vampire, Carolyn. There is going to be
Carolyn. Yeah.
Carolyn's going to be a vampire. And he was saying how he was upset that the last girl they made a vampire died so quickly. And I was like, yeah, well, don't worry, because they're going to keep this girl because she's the only blonde on the show.
Yeah.
And they already said so they could kill the other girl because there was already a bunch of brunettes on the show.
Yeah.
And they also already killed off Ariel Kibble. And then I remembered that I was actually talking about True Blood because Ariel Kibble was in like one episode.
Yeah.
Tonight, but she was also,
in Vampire Diaries.
As a vampire, yeah. So she was in both of them. So she just makes the rounds on the vampire shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought... you know, I think, though, this was a great season. I think, though, the Russell character really, like, kind of stole the show.
Oh, my God.
I mean, first off...
His love of Talbot
yeah,
is the most amazing
yeah.
thing ever.
First off, his accent's fantastic. The British actor...
Talbot is
just... His southern accent's fantastic. But, really, I mean, his shiny moment came in, like, the eighth or whatever episode when he killed the newscaster and had that whole, like, big, like, you know... That, I mean, there...
He was hugging his vase of Talbot and
that,
freaking out.
Yeah,
that was freaking
too.
Amazing.
And I believe
that
it was the same episode.
Yeah.
That was like the crowning achievement of this season. And, you know, I think we should make a list of like awesome when people try to take over the planet or start a war like on TV. Like, you know, like Superman 2 when Zod and the Kryptonians come and basically make the president on TV give over control of the world to them. Or like, you know, King Piccolo in Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this kind of felt like that. Like, he just ran in and just killed this newscaster, basically said, yeah, we're all vampires and we're all gonna eat you.
Yeah.
You're gonna eat your children. And I thought, you know, just he was a great bad guy, mostly because anytime you get someone who's so powerful but also so charismatic and funny,
mm-hmm.
it's always enjoyable. And I think that, you know, they had to go here because after Marianne from last
yeah.
season, who
Marianne.
Was basically like a demigod, you know, she had a lot of power and she was turning everyone into zombies.
But what about Tara's whole thing? Tara has been screwed with and screw it with, like, Tara, I mean...
Yeah, actually, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because Franklin Mott also kind of stole the show this season,
mm-hmm.
too. As to, you know, both vampires really did, because he was, like, really freaky and really scary, but also really funny and just terrible. And truly, what she had to go through was, like, horrible.
Yeah, Rutina Wesley did an incredible job
yeah,
this season.
Yeah.
I love her name so much.
I love how she moved, too. Like,
oh, my
crazy.
God.
I Yeah, I mean, she's a really good actress, and I love her accent, too. I love everyone's accent on this show.
Oh, my God,
it's
yeah.
It's not easy to pull off a southern accent sometimes, and, you know, Peter Sellers was supposed to be the Slim Pickens character in Dr. Strangelove, but he couldn't do it because he couldn't perfect a southern accent. So yeah. It's not easy to do that, especially if you're from England, which most of the people on the show are at this point.
Rutina Wesley's from Nevada.
Yes,
from
she
Las
is
Vegas.
From Nevada. Yes, she is, yes.
But, yeah, I mean, like, her character is just I want so badly for nice things to happen
yeah.
to her next season, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
I know, nice things can't happen to anyone.
She's the only non-supernatural, really, along with Jason.
Well, but
we don't even know
how non-supernatural she is, since it seems like, you know, there's some sort of supernaturalness within her family.
Yeah, well,
with
I mean,
Lafayette.
Wasn't the whole point of the second season she was the one who brought Marianne about because
mm-hmm.
of the whole exorcism thing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's definitely
something within her family of, like, you know,
yeah.
witches or something.
Well, what about the werepanthers? I did
oh
not
my
see
God.
That coming. I knew there would be something different. I was hoping they'd be like zombie people or like
yeah, but I approve of werepanther.
Well, it's funny because at first I thought it was lame. I was like, why not wear like we already have werewolves? But then I remembered, you know, there have been a bunch of movies about people who turn into big cats. Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, I think one of the first horror movies ever was called The Cat People, actually. But I know you know, Stephen King had a book that became a movie like that. So, you know, it's sort of steeped in a horror. So we've seen it before. So that was kind of cool with the Crystal character and her hillbilly meth. Making were panthers and inbred were panthers.
That Jason is probably going to build an army with to take down like the werewolves or the vampires or something.
Exactly.
He's going to have his inbred were panther army.
I love that. You know, the Jason character really the first season was his worst story arc. After that, his character just keeps on picking up new like insane things to do.
Yeah, but he was. Even though his character kind of sucked in the first season, his character itself, though, he was so good that you wanted him there all the time to be stupid.
Yeah, it was just the part with him on V, basically, and him like keeping the guy prisoner. That was bad part.
But that was mostly what's her face.
That was Lizzie Kaplan, by the way.
Lizzie Kaplan, you're so evil.
Oh man,
why would you do it to that nice guy and that nice vampire guy?
Lizzie Kaplan, let me take a second. I would like to thank her and also Mila Jovovich for. Doing nudity,
which I
think is very fantastic. And Lindsay Kaplan, you're totally hot, so thank you very much for that. Speaking of which, the girl who plays H.G. Wells, also in Dexter, also topless.
British.
I mean, and also British. I think it's totally awesome. I'm all for it. Anyway,
she's not topless, however, on Warehouse 13.
No, she is not, though she's a totally awesome character on that. I love they brought H.G. Wells into it. I think it's just the coolest idea.
So anyway, I
think True Blood was really good this year. I think the finale, I like the finale. The problem is, you know, how do you get better? I thought the second season finale was so good.
The thing
is
that
everyone got together to fight the bad guy.
They have all this sort of crazy, you know, source material to work from.
Yeah.
And so I haven't read the books, but it seems like I believe that a lot of it is being pulled from the books.
Yeah.
There's a lot more stories. Plus,
except for the Lafayette stuff.
Well, plus Alan Ball himself is really good at creating kind of, you know, companion stories to go along with the stuff. So he's adding in enough stuff to kind of propel things, you know, without using up all of the stuff from the books. You know what I mean? And so I think there's still going to be a whole bunch of stories yet to tell.
I agree. So were there any favorite moments from the season of True Blood you'd like to mention?
I don't know. Just Franklin Mott in general was amazing. Like that.
Everything he said, everything he did was funny, even if terrifying was really funny.
Yeah. It was terrifying. Fine. Yeah.
Get it?
But it was, he was so good.
Yeah.
And
I would have to say, for me, it was definitely the news anchor part was my favorite part, and followed very closely by head twisting sex.
Yeah,
that
crazy.
Was just the most nuts thing I'd ever seen on that show. I thought it was a really really good season. And I love the show; it's spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Just great work. And also, you know, it always pushes boundaries. You know, like we said, you know, there was a lot of nudity this season, male and female, a lot of sex, and along with straight sex, there was, you know, homosexuality involved too, which is also
they gave Lafayette a love interest.
Exactly.
They did a really good story with that, and it seems to be propelling somewhere else. You know,
yes,
that's the other thing. I think next season is going to be more like, you know, evil people, demonic people, witchcraft, things like that. Because you got the whole like evil baby inside of
You
know, and you've got and you've got Lafayette seeing things in his man witch boyfriend.
Yeah, and something's going on with Sookie too. You know, not
Sookie's
only
going a little
she's
little
going dark side. Totally, because, you know, they keep on saying he's going to take your light, and then, like, you know, granted, she was very upset at all of them and wanted to hurt all of them at the end is because they were messing her up, but it felt like she was a little darker than like she'd ever been before.
Yeah, it's not just heartbreak.
Exactly. And so I think, it's going to be interesting what happened. You know, she went with the fairies at the end of the season, so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. So you want to spend a little time talking about Vampire Diaries?
Let's do it.
All right, so this is the premiere of the second season we watched.
Now, let's just say Vampire Diaries is one of those shows that we are embarrassed to say that we like, but because of it's called Vampire Diaries, but it turned out to be really good. Plus, it's the kind of origin of so many of these other shows that we love, Buffy and True Blood and stuff. Like, the Vampire Diaries books came out first. You know, they came out before Buffy. They came out before True Blood. And for all of you dumbos yes. out there who like Twilight, they came out way before Twilight stole it.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, you know, I wouldn't walk into a sports bar and proclaim at the top of my lungs I love Vampire Diaries. But I got to say, in a world where Twilight was almost the top grossing film of last year, or of this year, rather, I have no problem saying I like Vampire Diaries. Mm-hmm. Because it's so much less embarrassing than liking Twilight.
Yeah.
Like, because it's so much better. Like you said, it came before, and a lot of ideas from a lot of stuff was taken from it.
Really solid source material.
I also noticed a lot of the stuff, we gotta say, a lot of the stuff, it seems like in Buffy that wasn't directly about Buffy, mm-hmm. the show.
All the stuff that it seems that like Joss didn't come up with.
Yeah.
Somebody pulled from, yeah.
So, you know, anyway, though, Vampire Diaries was really, really good. I thought the premiere was really, really good. You know, we ended off with Jeremy, you know, maybe becoming a werewolf, maybe becoming a vampire because he basically took Anna's blood and OD'd.
That's what happened at the end of the film.
But of course, you know, he did not end up becoming a vampire at the end. Let's see. There was like a lot of good stuff. I mean, this was one of those that was full of stuff. You know, there was a whole Catherine and Stefan fight going on in the very beginning, which was really cool. I think, you know, it's always funny to watch an actor have to do double duty, have to play them in an evil version of them.
Yeah.
Which I thought
Nina Dobrev is doing a really good job.
Totally great. And I think she's really good at both characters, too.
She gets to do, like, you know, she gets to do the schoolgirl look and the kind of femme fatale look. And she's like, you know, and it works well.
I thought she did really good. You know, I think it's not always easy to play, you know.
It's no
like,
Tom Welling as Bizarro.
That's the thing. I was kind of like Evil Clark, you know, is always how I think of it now when I see somebody.
Red Crimson Tide.
Yeah, it's Evil Clark. And I think, you know, I thought she was really good in it. I think that, you know, the story is, you know, it's as kind of dense as ever. There's all kinds of stuff going on right now. I think it was really interesting.
Yeah, it's
because,
like, is Damon going to be evil? Is he gonna be good? Is he
like Damon had been really good for like a while, and then he, you know, basically was heartbroken because he basically got told by both the girls that he loves that they'll
never love him, they will always love
his brother. Exactly. And so he kind of goes nuts at the end and basically kills Jeremy or breaks his neck, but luckily Jeremy had his father's ring on, his invincibility ring.
Yeah.
You know, and the question is whether or not he knew he had the ring on or not. Probably not. You know, I think that really the only difference between the two characters is like Stefan isn't ruled by emotion. Damon is. Like, Damon is totally, like ruled by emotion. He's a complete, like, artistic-type person. And so, you know, he kind of goes nuts and just starts killing everybody when he gets upset. And I thought, was Alaric even in this episode?
No.
What's going on with his character?
I don't know, because, you know, his whole thing was finding his wife.
Yeah.
You know, so by the end of the last one, he did.
I guess he kind of, did he leave town? Is that what happened? I can't remember what happened to him.
It's hard to say. You know, we don't exactly know what's going on. Like, he's not dead.
Yeah.
You know, like, that much we know.
Yeah, I kind of missed him.
I liked him a lot.
I liked him because
if he's gone, I hope he comes back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the whole thing at the end of the last one was like, they used the box and like,
yeah.
The mayor died.
The mayor got
a werewolf.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, and we're going to get
the
werewolf thing.
The Tyler Lockwood character now is the Uncle Lockwood.
Yes. I'm pretty sure it's his brother, his older brother, I think.
No, it's his uncle.
Was it his uncle? Really?
Yes,
oh,
God, dad's brother.
I haven't been paying attention. Yeah, you're right. So now we're going to get more into the Lockwood curse of being a werewolf. And I just don't understand why
that's why it's called a curse.
Yes. It's like, I don't like it. That's why it's called a curse. And I think, like we said, you know, Catherine turned Carolyn into a werewolf.
No.
It's too much. She turned her into a blonde werewolf. No, she turned her into a vampire. There's too much vampire and werewolf and zombie going on in this show. I can't handle it.
Though I think the intention that she had was to kill her, not knowing that she had vampire blood in her system.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think the point was that, you know, message was going to be a dead friend.
Yeah, you think so?
I think that was her intention.
But she told her game on, so she's supposed to tell them that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that she necessarily needs to.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
I think Game On was, like, you know, killing her, not knowing that she was going to be a vampire because she's got blood in her.
Yes, I totally agree. But yeah, oh man, the whole scene too with them.
Because if she just wanted to send a message, then, like, you know, she could have
emailed
her.
She could have texted.
Yeah.
Game on. From evil vampire Catherine at. Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Also, that whole scene
at diary.com.
Yeah. That's awesome. I thought the scene with her and with Catherine and Stefan, where she stabs him with, like, I don't even know what it was. She just stabbed him all of a sudden. It was totally awesome. I was like, oh my god, she impaled him with a rusty.
She likes impaling.
Yes. Well, she's a big fan of stabbing. You know, back in the old days, all you could really do is, you know, stab people and stuff.
Stabby McCatherine.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a great show, and I'm really glad it came back. But I actually don't have too much to say about it, I guess. So much happened.
I think it's just they had a great season finale last year and a really, really solid opening this year. I hope that Alaric is back this year, and I hope that just, like, more... I hope that they can keep up this pace.
I agree. So, was there anything else we wanted to talk about?
No, we only we really don't have any time left. I think
really?
So this
is the show over already?
The show is over.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Resident Evil, Nikita,
Hellcats, True Blood,
True Blood, Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, mostly Resident Evil, Nikita,
Warehouse 13.
I thought Resident Evil. I really liked Afterlife. I really think you guys should go see it. Even
especially,
if you're not too familiar with it. I mean,
but if you're fans of the fifth game, then it's absolutely worth
it. And also, like we said, it's real 3D. They didn't convert it. It looks fantastic. It's a lot of fun.
And don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. And by the way, we'll be doing a host show soon. So if you have any questions for us, send emails to geekworld@925kyhy.com. Ask us anything and we will consider answering it.
Yes.
And,
I won't, but you will.
Oh, yeah, probably. So that's all the time that we have for this episode. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place.